Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Big news out of Ohio State that Chase Young is going to be held out of tomorrow's game with Maryland because of a potential NCAA issue. What does that mean long term? We don't know, but Young has had a spectacular season, which was not unexpected. He was expected to have a spectacular season. But now, because of a potential NCAA issue, Ohio State will hold him out of tomorrow's game at Maryland. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We've hit the holiday season, so might I strongly recommend, like, you want to shop with care, but you also want to also make it an easy experience for you. Well, it's easy to go to Brewers Outlet and get a gift card. It'll also tell the person you give it to how much you care. You know, it does, just because you do something with ease, okay, doesn't mean that you don't care. It's the fact that you thought it out and you go and get it, the person that gets it is going to love it. And why? Because they have the best in beer, imports, domestics, microbrews, best variety of beer anywhere, great selection of beer. People love wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Buner is partial to garlic. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, best in the business. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Raiders last night get it done. The game winner by Josh Jacobs in the fourth quarter. Brent Musburger with the call on the Raiders radio network.
This set. The hand. Big hole. First down. End zone. Touchdown, Jacobs. Touchdown, Raiders. Would you believe it? Off the bench. The offensive line blows the hole open against that nine-man box. And Jacobs takes it home. Roll Tide, baby.
The Raiders did a great job of opening up the hole right in the center of the defense.
Brent Musburger with the call, along with Lincoln Kennedy here as well, at the end on the Raiders radio network as they beat the Chargers last night, 26-24, and that was the game winner. All right, now let's get to the significant story of the day. Ohio State will play Maryland tomorrow. Ohio State's the prohibitive favorite. But Buckeyes defensive end Chase Young, who has been really the most dominant defensive player in FBS this season, is being held out by the football team for a potential undisclosed violation of NCAA rules. Young is a junior. He will not play for Ohio State tomorrow against Maryland. It will not affect the outcome of that game at all due to a possible NCAA issue from 2018 that the Department of Athletics is looking into. Young leads FBS with 13.5 sacks. He is tied for second with 15.5 tackles for losses. He tied single-game records for sacks with 4 and tackles for loss with 5 in the Buckeyes' last game, a 38-7 win over Wisconsin. And we look at the Wisconsin offensive line, it's even more impressive. He needs a half sack, by the way, to tie Vernon Golson's single-season team record set in 2007. So the 6'5", 265-pounder, and everyone thinks he's going to go into the draft, and Mel Kiper has him number one on his board. But whatever the issue is, at minimum, he will not be able to play in tomorrow's game against Maryland until they get this straightened out. So Chase Young is out of tomorrow's game with Maryland. Long term, we'll see. Penn State has to worry about Minnesota. He is one of the best in the business, without question. Someone I have immense respect for. I don't care if it's football, baseball, basketball. Sean McDonough is always well prepared. He is also somebody that knows when to mix in humor and when to capture the big moment. With that, we welcome in the outstanding Sean McDonough, who will work the game tomorrow for ABC. Sean, my friend, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It'll be good to see you again. Blackledge has done, this will be his fourth Penn State game because you were justifiably being honored at Syracuse when Penn State played Pitt. So this will be your third time through. So, Sean, when you've looked at Penn State and you're looking to see progress and so forth, what are you seeing in Penn State?
Progress. I think you have. You know, I really like the team. I think that's been obvious with the games that we've done and the commentary that we've had. You know, I think they're really talented on both sides of the ball. Todd made the statement, I can't remember which one of the games we did, maybe when we were at Iowa, that he felt, you know, from an athleticism standpoint, you know, strength and size and speed, you know, that they are the closest thing, if not a match for Ohio State in the Big Ten. You know, and Ohio State is a terrifically talented and athletic team. So, yeah, I think they're terrific on both sides of the ball. I think they're solid in the kicking game as well. So, I wasn't surprised with the rankings the way they came out last night.
What have you thought of Sean Clifford so far in the two games you've worked?
Really good. First of all, I'm impressed when I met him. You know, you sit in the meeting and you think, right, well, okay, this is the kind of guy, and you've been around him a lot more than I have, Steve, but, you know, you walk out of there thinking, you know, this is the kind of guy you want leading your team. You know, he's likable. He's got a great personality, but a lot of leadership skills. But then you talk to the players and the coaches, and they say, you know, when it's serious business time, he's the first guy to make sure that he has everybody's attention. So, I like him, and I think, you know, I didn't know much about him before the year started, but I would think that he's probably been better than even most Penn State fans would have expected right out of the gate. You know, we were comparing his numbers through his first seven starts, I guess it was, when we were at Michigan State, to Chase McSorley's first seven starts, and Clifford's numbers are actually a little bit better. You know, I think he's a good decision maker, protects the ball. Can make all the throws, really. I mean, he has a nice touch and throws it downfield, and obviously can hurt you with his running ability, too. So I've been really, really impressed.
All right, well, I want to flip the script over to Minnesota for a moment. And you've had a chance to watch tape of a team that, when the season began, was not on a lot of radars. What has stuck out to you, Sean, about what you've seen on film so far?
That they're really good. You know, I really think that they are. I know it's hard for a lot of people to come to that conclusion. They just look at the quality of the competition. They haven't played a ranked opponent yet. It's been a strange season, as you know. I know how well you study for the games. They really scuffled through their first four games. You know, they were trailing Georgia Southern by four late in the game, and they had a 3rd and 29 on their own six, and they were out of timeouts, and somehow they managed to get down the field and score and win the game. But, you know, they beat South Dakota State by 7, Fresno by 3, Georgia Southern by 3, Purdue by 7. You're like, oh, wow, you know. And then something clicked in. You know, ever since then, they're mauling people, and when you watch the tape, to get back to your original question, you know, it's not a fluke. The quarterback's excellent, solid, good, another good decision maker. I mean, 18 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. They are very talented at wide receiver. Yeah. They are deep and talented at running back. They have one of the biggest offensive lines in the country. The average size of their offensive line is bigger than the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think they have as many big playmakers on the defense, but they have enough. And I think what's impressive about the defense is that, you know, they're obviously well coached. Their program kind of took a big change last year, when in the middle of the year they changed defensive coordinators, and, you know, you could track it from that very day that the points allowed went way down, and they got significantly better on defense. It's another example that coaching really is important and does make a difference. So, you know, they have some big playmakers on the defense, Winfield in the secondary, Carter Coughlin along the defensive line. But I think what stands out to me about their defense is it's just a unit that plays very well together and doesn't give up big plays, and, you know, kind of makes you march down the field and earn it. And then, you know, they're a very well-coached team. You know, that comes through when you look at the way they possess the ball and they don't get penalized. You know, they're one of the least penalized teams in the country. They play hard, and I think it's one of the great stories in college football this season, and I think anybody who thinks Penn State is just going to show up and walk out there and beat them is in for a surprise. I really think this is going to be a game that goes right down to the wire, and I wouldn't be surprised if either team won it. I haven't looked at the point spread. I have no idea what it is, but I think it's going to be a very close, competitive game.
And not only that, there should be a lot of emotion in the stadium because, look, this has been an interesting ride. They haven't been in this spot in decades, for example. How much does that figure into, quote, a storyline in the game because of what the game – it's going to mean a lot to both teams, as you know.
It does.
Yeah, it's a stretch run. But, you know, Minnesota, I mean, this is an interesting spot for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's only 7 undefeated teams left. They haven't been 8-0 since 1941. They haven't been 5-0 in the Big Ten since 1961. You know, this is the 10th year of their stadium. It's the biggest game that they've played in those 10 years for sure. And I think you can go back a lot longer than that. You know, there are people who are obviously much more familiar with the history of Minnesota football than I am, although I'm brushing up on it as fast as I can. But you know, I think the atmosphere is going to be tremendous. You know, it's the state university. They've always been well supported. I mean, I've been there for basketball and hockey, you know. Right. The people of Minnesota love the Gophers in all sports, and their fans are believers, and you know, I think they're anxious for their team to go out there and prove to the rest of the country that they deserve more credit and respect than they're getting. I was just on a radio show in the Twin Cities, and you know, there's some angst out there about their ranking in the initial ratings that came out last night, but I think that's just a byproduct of their schedule, obviously. If they would be able to knock off Penn State, that number's going to change in the next round, for sure.
In the couple games that you've done with Penn State, K.J. Hamler certainly, you know, usually is in the thick of everything going on. When you watch him in person and on tape, what really stands out to you, what he does?
I thought Todd had a great comparison when he compared to Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
You know, the speed, similar size, just the ability to change a game. With a relatively simple play, you don't have to throw him a bomb down the field. You can throw him a short pass and hand it to him, and he's a threat to score every time he gets it in his hands, including in the Clippers game too. So, yeah, I think there was kind of it was almost painful for the Michigan State folks when we did that game. So there's a young man who was committed to go to Michigan State for about 2 years, and he told us for that time he thought he was going to Michigan State, and he is such an example of what they're lacking. I mean, if you put him on Michigan State, that offense is a lot different than, the struggling, plodding output that it is and has been all season long and really for a couple of years. So, I mean, he's a difference maker, a guy who by himself can change a game, and I think he's certainly one of the best players that I've seen in the country this year.
It's one thing to look at a team on video. It's another thing to see them in person. So when you see the Penn State defense in person, what strikes you?
The ability to generate pass rush for 4 guys.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Obviously, it enables you to cover. I like their secondary a lot. It's veteran guys who are smart and I think they play well collectively. Micah Parsons, I think, is the number one thing. I probably should have started with him. And it's, as you know, because you see it every week. We've seen it a lot of weeks, but he just looks to me like a guy who, week to week is just getting better and better to the point where, as some of the offensive coaches like to say, he can wreck your game pretty quickly. he's a game wrecker for the opposition. So, I like that. As I said at the beginning, I like Penn State's team on both sides of the ball, and I think they're solid in the kicking game as well. I think the punter is excellent, and obviously Hamler's a concern in the kicking game for the opponent. So, I think they can win every game that they play. I think this will be a test, and I know James and his staff, they won't be overlooking this team. They certainly didn't overlook Iowa when we did that game or overlook Michigan State. It was impressive the way they took care of business up there. So, and I think it probably helped them that they had lost to Michigan State the last couple of years. It was, you were less likely to look past them knowing the recent history. So, 8-0 ought to get their attention, even though Minnesota hasn't played a ranked team yet.
Yeah.
All you can do is beat the people that you're playing. As we said, the last 4 games, not only they beat people, but they're hammering people, and they look really, really good on film doing it.
There's no question about that. I was watching some of it last night. Last question for you, Sean, and this is obviously I'm around, quote, Penn State all the time, as you said, and I know in advance that they're going to play Minnesota. So, you know, I know for months ahead of time. But you are in a spot where you end up getting assigned to a game. So going into the season, Minnesota may not have been on your radar. So,
right.
So what does it take for you to get ready, especially when it's a team that you have not seen yet or a coaching staff you have not dealt with yet?
Right. That's a great question. The, you know, first of all, it helps in the preparation that we've had Penn State, you know, three times now. So
right.
We're very familiar with the coaches, the personnel, the way they play, what the storylines of their season are, especially when we have their last game against Michigan State and two out of the last three, you know, with going back to the game at Iowa. So, you know, that helps really allow for more focus on Minnesota. One of the problems, like headed Monday Night Football, we got our whole schedule before the year began. So you always knew who you had to prepare for and which teams, you know, you were going to have and you weren't going to have. We get our schedule in college football week to week, six games ahead. I don't find out until Sunday
right.
where we're going, you know, 6 days later. So there's the element of surprise. But you can kind of look at the schedule and say, okay, you know, we're very lucky because, you know, our group basically gets the best team that a game that following Herb Street. Their group does not do. So, you know, you can kind of look at the upcoming schedule and say, okay, it's probably going to be this game or that game or that game. So you have a little bit of a clue. But I'm basically immersed in Minnesota this week, watching the films, reading everything I can read, you know, talking to people who cover their program. We'll get in there on Friday and meet with their players and coaches. We'll do the same thing with the Nittany Lions when they get to their hotel. So it's like studying for a test every week. You know, you try to learn as much as you can. There are great storylines on their team among the individual players. And you know, with their program, as we talked about, I think it's a great chance for us to tell their story to the rest of the country. And at the same time, wanting to be balanced and make sure that Penn State gets its just due. But I think in this instance, you know, people around the country know a lot more about Penn State than they do about Minnesota.
Well, you know, the great respect I have for you and for your work. Sean, thanks so much for giving us the time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, that feeling is mutual, my friend, and look forward to seeing you. This is really going to be one of the great games of the year so far in college football. It's a great Saturday in college football, and I think this game will live up to the anticipation. I look forward to seeing you, and thanks for having me.
Hey, Sean, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
He is, in my mind, one of the best in the business. Sean McDonough, who will call the game tomorrow on ABC with Ty Blackledge. It will be his third Penn State game to go with Iowa and Michigan State. Ty Blackledge, it's his fourth. If you recall, Sean was being honored, and justifiably so, at Syracuse when Penn State played Pitt. So Chris Fowler did that game with Ty Blackledge. So that'll be tomorrow on ABC. You'll hear the game tomorrow at 10:30 will be our pregame start. Matt McGloin will not work the game tomorrow. Matt's in London. And so that's the only reason Matt's not here. He has an assignment he has to take care of in London. So it'll be Jack and me tomorrow on the game. And we will not have a sideline reporter. But considering it's Minnesota and considering you'd probably have to stand around a heater the entire time, you know, Matt's probably better off in London, but that's all right. We'll miss him because Matt has done a fabulous job for us this season. Matt will return for the Indiana game next week. The Marlins game, it won't. And that is the fact that Chase Young will not be able to play. Ohio State's the prohibitive favorite, should be the prohibitive favorite. Maryland is not playing well, so Chase Young being out as far as I'm concerned, for tomorrow is insignificant. But moving forward, if he remains out, it does become significant. And because of the stretch run that they have to go through. They got Maryland this week. They got Rutgers next week. Then it's Penn State. Then it's Michigan. Now it becomes significant for them. And that's where you've got to look and see how this plays out. But Chase Young is out of the game tomorrow with Maryland. They're looking into a possible NCAA violation that actually goes back to 2018, goes back to last season. So if it goes back to last season, it could be, quote, insignificant enough where the one-game suspension is it. I mean, it could be that simple, but we'll have to see because nobody knows what the violation is.
And nor will Ohio State, nor should Ohio State say either. They shouldn't say what it potentially is. But it is an important story because there are long-term ramifications if it's more significant. Penn State, Minnesota coming up tomorrow. That's significant. You only take care of what's in front of you. And Penn State tomorrow will take on Minnesota. It'll be a 12:08 kick. 10:30 will be the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. It's going to be cold. You're just going to want to sit there and watch sports anyway. Football, Penn State, Minnesota tomorrow, LSU, Alabama tomorrow. Plenty of football coming up on Sunday, so stock up now. Just go over to Brewers Outlet now and stock up. The best in best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews. They also have wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. That pickle bar. I know Buner loves the garlic. But we all know that the pickle bar is led by the barrels and the dills. And that pickle bar is indeed all together now. Yes, you and Danville, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And also keep in mind, it's a good time to go out and get gift cards for the holidays from Brewers Outlet. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, the best in the business, best sales staff, best product, outstanding, awesome, best service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big story, Chase Young will not play tomorrow for Maryland. They're looking into a possible NCAA violation in 2018. So he's definitely out of the Maryland game tomorrow. Beyond that, we don't know. Earlier in the week, James Franklin did meet with the media to give everybody a read on Penn State and Minnesota. So let's pick up that press conference from Tuesday.
That's all of it. That's nutrition. You know, all those little wins add up. How our guys sleep. That adds up for us. How our guys eat, the quality of food, the type of food they're getting, those things add up for us. The information that I'm able to get from the sports scientists in terms of where our team is and when do we need to practice harder, when do we need to condition more, when do we need to cut back, all those things, there's value. So our process really has not changed a whole lot in 9 years, but it has been tweaked and it has been refined, and I think we've gotten better. We've gotten better in how we practice. We've gotten better in how we prepare. We've gotten better in how we handle a normal game week. We've gotten better in how we handle a Friday night game through experience and trials. We've gotten better in how we, handle bye weeks and then how we come off of the bye week. It's all of it. And what I try to do is I got a great staff of coaches and trainers and doctors and our academic people and, like I said, the sports scientists and nutritionists and all these different people. And what I'm trying to do is get as much information as I possibly can get from them and our players. And then in the off season, some discussions with some other coaches and other programs and come up with the best plan for Penn State. And I think we've been able to do that. So we got to go do it again against a really good opponent on the road in this conference, which isn't easy to do. And but I do think the experience that we had of playing a ranked Michigan team at home, there's value in that. Going on the road and playing Iowa at night, Kinnick Stadium, that stadium has been a nightmare at night for a lot of people, and we found ways to win there. So not that necessarily those wins do anything specifically for us against Minnesota, but there is some confidence that comes from that. I've never been there, haven't been to the stadium, haven't been to this venue, so trying to get as much information as we can on what to expect, what's the wind like in the stadium, because the wind is different at all these different stadiums, what's the temperature going to be like, what's the locker room going to be like, just so we can plan and be as prepared. And the fact that we haven't been there before, some of those things are a bit new to us. So looking forward to the opportunity. It should be great. Should be a great, I would think it's going to be a great environment. I think it's going to be great for our conference. I think it's going to be great for college football. Love the fact that the game is at 12 o'clock. That should be great too. So looking forward to it.
Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you, Corey?
Good, James. Your name occasionally comes up when the media starts talking about jobs around the country. I'm just curious if that bothers you at all, that stuff like that is just kind of thrown out there during the season. And do you ever feel the need to talk about that stuff with your players? Does everybody just try to ignore it?
As you know, we work very, very, very hard at staying focused on the task at hand. That's with everybody. Whenever anything comes up, we try to address it, make sure everybody kind of understands where we're at with everything, with coaches, with players, with recruits, with all of it. But we try to stay as focused as we possibly can on the task at hand. All those things that take away from that, we try to stay away from as much as we possibly can. I've also heard PJ's name mentioned for a bunch, so you guys could spend a lot of time calling him and talking to him about it in their program. But we love it here. Really enjoy coaching these guys and don't really see that changing anytime soon. But looking forward to playing Minnesota.
Hey, James, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This seems to be about as stable as your offensive line has been at this point of the season. How important has that been to your offensive success, and how important is it moving forward to what you guys need to do?
Yeah, I think your point is a good one. I think we have been able to be stable and consistent with the guys that are playing. I do think being able to get Dez some significant time and experience, I think has been really valuable to us. I think getting both Mike Miranda and CJ Thorpe time, I think, has been really important. I think both of them have played extremely well. I think all three of those guys have played extremely well. It's allowed us to build depth. It's allowed us to keep some of those other guys fresh as well. We do have some guys that have been, played a lot of football for us, and that experience, especially at that position, is really valuable. Guys like Gonzo and Mennett and Fries are just doing awesome, in terms of how they practice, in terms of how they play, how they communicate on the sideline with our coaches, how they kind of set the tone and leadership with the younger players as well, and help them learn and gain from their experience. All of it has been really good. So we're in a good place. As you know, when I got here, that was not the case. We couldn't be any further from that. I think, you know, we had six or seven scholarship offensive linemen when we got here, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever been a part of, to be honest with you. So we're in a much better place, but we got to keep building. You know, you look at the best programs in the United States, they're really good on the offensive line consistent. They're really good on the defensive line consistent. And you can't really fall behind at those two positions because it's too hard to fix it. It takes time to fix it. So we got to keep building. But you know, the fact that not a whole lot of people are talking about the O-line and I don't get a whole lot of questions about it is a good thing.
James, you guys have had a lot of success in the red zone this year, and you're facing a defense this week that has struggled to stop teams in the red zone. Against on the road, how important is that going to be for you guys as an offense to keep up that success in the red zone?
Yeah, obviously we got to get there as many times as possible. You know, we got to get into the red zone as many times as we possibly can. It's been an emphasis for us. We've been good at it. I think it's a combination that we're able to run the ball and throw the ball. I think the best teams in the red zone are able to do both. And then obviously that translates when you get down there. But yeah, I think literally every aspect is going to be important. Going on the road and kicking field goals obviously is good and important. But, you know, being able to go on the road and score touchdowns in the red zone is critical. You know, it's hard to get down there. So when you get down there, you gotta make the most of it. You know, so, you know, that'll be a storyline of the game. There's no doubt.
James, you complimented Minnesota's offensive line a little bit earlier, so I'm curious with PJ Mustafer, you know, how does he match up against a tough lineup like that, and where do you kind of see his ceiling as the snap counts? As you said the other week, you know, he should probably see some more time, obviously.
Yeah, I think you'll see probably CJ and Rob probably get, you know, between 15. You know, more reps a game, could be 20, you know, but probably 15 more reps in this game. You know, we think that they can handle that. You know, we do. And then obviously you'll see a little bit more Fred and a little bit more Judge and, you know, some of the other guys too. So that's going to be a big storyline for this game. You know, I don't think we've seen an O-line like this year, but I'd also make the argument I don't know if they've seen a D-line, you know, like us before either. So that's going to be an important battle going into the game. There's no doubt about that.
Question about Tyler Johnson. When you everyone's looking for speed at the receiver position, most likely. But when you have a guy like that who is as physical at the catch point, what sort of stresses does that put on the defensive back in a situation like that? And how have your defenders done against players like that in the past? Because you've faced a couple who have a similar profile in the past.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting you say that, because you look at really all their offensive skill players, and specific at the wide receiver position, they're big guys. You know, none of them are really small. You look at, you know, you're talking about 6'2", 205, you're talking about 6'2", 210. They're big, they're physical. Same thing at the tight end position, same thing across the offensive line. You know, they're built like, I think, you know, how people think of Big Ten offenses. Obviously, John Reed is not the biggest corner, but he's big enough, and he's crafty. You know, and he understands the game, and he understands body position and all those types of things. So that's going to be a challenge. You know, it's going to be a challenge with Castro and John and our young corners going against big physical receivers that are playing at a very high level and playing confident. The quarterback's extremely accurate. He puts the ball in positions for those guys to be able to go make plays. Once again, I think this is the best wide receivers that we have faced this year. But I'd also make the argument, I don't know if they've seen defensive backs or pass rush like we've been. So, you know, especially with the RPO stuff that they do, the skinny post or slant on the backside of their reads, he throws it extremely well. They put people in conflict, and then, you know, their receivers do a really good job of not only catching the ball, but then run after the catch. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to ask about the bye week. Do you get more family time than usual, you know, during a week off? And how important is it for you to use that time to, you know, spend more with your family if you can?
Yeah, I wish. You know, probably the biggest change for us is the mornings. We come in late to allow coaches to take their kids to school and things like that. But not really. You get the morning a little bit. And then you know, some of the coaches weren't on the road on Saturday, so they were able to have Saturday with their families. But I was on the road, and some of the other coaches were on the road. So not as much time as you would think. It's funny how many times people text me, family or friends text me and say, "Hey, what are you doing for your off week?" Like, you know, but it's not really like that, you know, for us.
Hey, James.
Hey, Mike.
In addition to speed and depth, and maybe that's it, what's has made the defense so good this year?
Speed and depth.
good.
Yeah, I think the speed and depth obviously has been a big part of it. But I also think that last year, you know, we played a bunch of young players that, you know, this year are so much more experienced and so much more confident. I mean, P.J. Mustafa playing as a true freshman, I thought he did some really good things, but now playing as a true sophomore, it's a completely different scenario, obviously. Micah Parsons, although he played a lot of football for us last year, he was still a first-time linebacker. He was still, a first-time, you know, guy playing significant time. Both of those guys now have worked in the starting roles, and the confidence and the experience that comes with that. You know, it's really all of it. It's Jahan Dotson. It's all those guys in year two, the experience that they've gained. I also just think, you know, our coaches have gotten better. They get better every single year. I think Brent's ability to work with his staff, as well as Tim's experience as a coordinator, I think they complement each other very well. I think we do a really good job of in the off season of saying, okay, this is how we played last year, and this was a strength, and this was good to us, but based on our personnel and experience, how is the story of the, you know, Penn State defense for this season, how is it going to be maybe a little different? And, you know, stylistically, are we going to play a little bit different? What does our personnel lend us to be? And I think we've done a good job of that. You know, so I think it's a combination of all, but I think our offense playing more 12 personnel, which was something that was very important to me 2 years ago when Ricky took over, to play more 12 personnel, I think has helped our offense, but probably more importantly is program-wise. I think it's helped our offense on third down. It's helped our offense, obviously, in four-minute and short yardage situations. Our personnel has been a big part of that. We want to be, you know, great at the tight end position, and if you are great at the tight end position, you better have multiple of those guys on the field at the same time. But the other thing is it allows our defense to be more prepared for the regular season when it comes, because if you're only seeing spread, if you're only seeing 10 personnel, if you're only seeing 11 personnel, and that's all you ever see, and then you got to get prepared for a team like this that's going to line up in heavy sets or 12 personnel or whatever it may be, and you've never seen it from a talented offense, you know, on your own team, it's hard to get ready for that in a week. So I just think all those things really help. Kind of goes back to kind of how we were at Vanderbilt, to be honest with you. We're more multiple. We're able to do a lot of different things on Saturdays from an offensive perspective. But again, more importantly, we're able to do a lot of these things that our defense is going to go against. They see it now during spring ball. They see it now during training camp. And then they see it in a limited amount against each other in practice, because even in a normal game week, we always go against each other for at least, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. So I think there's tremendous value in that.
Hey, James.
Hey, Ben.
I have to cough, apparently, every time I ask you a question. I don't think anybody doubts the quality of the coverage guys that you have. It seems like a couple of the chunk plays you've given up, guys have been in position but have never really turned around to make a play on that ball. Is that just me being dumb and not knowing what I'm talking about, or is there some truth to that? How do you kind of evaluate how some of those chunk plays have unfolded in those single coverage situations?
No, you're smart, very smart. You know that. But I think the word never is a strong word. I wouldn't say that. I think we've made a bunch of plays, but you're exactly right. Those 50-50 balls, you know, you kind of brought it up as well, those 50-50 balls against his big, strong wide receivers. It's going to be important that there are more 60-40 balls, you know, in our way, whether we come down with it or make sure that they don't. You know, but part of it is getting them off balance. They haven't really been off balance very much. They're in manageable third down situations. They're usually playing with a lead, so they're doing very little drop back passes. When I say that to answer this question, because if they're running the ball effectively and staying on schedule and able to mix in a RPO throw or a max protect shot down the field where the quarterback isn't under pressure, he's comfortable in the pocket, and now they're able to create conflict with a play action or RPO that eliminates maybe the underneath coverage or your safeties from being able to help over the top, and now your receivers are truly one-on-one, that's hard to stop. You know, that's hard to stop. And us keeping them off schedule as much as we possibly can, I think, is going to help everybody. That's not how they want the game to go.
James Franklin from Tuesday. Penn State tomorrow takes on Minnesota at noon. We're on beginning at 10:30. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What a great week we've had. Fun week. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget tonight, Sealands Grove, Jersey Shore on Eagle 107. Penn State football here tomorrow, starting at 10:30 with a 12:08 kickoff. All of it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.